The Golden State Warriors were crowned NBA champs earlier this week for the second time in three seasons. TV ratings were the highest for an NBA Finals series since 1998, and the sport's popularity in social media is on the rise. But can the league overcome the NFL to become America's most loved game? With me to talk about the possibilities is Kenneth Shropshire of the Wharton School of Business. And starting next month, he'll join ASU to design and lead a new international sports center. Professor, the NBA has been increasing its social media presence and seems to be appealing more to younger fans. How much can that generational shift help in moving fans away from the NFL and Major League Baseball?
That's absolutely right. I mean, if you think about the history of media and put it alongside the history of sport, you can see how the changes have occurred. If you think of, you know, initially there's radio and it's baseball and slow and you kind of laze around and listen, and then your 40s, 50s, certainly you get TV and you get that one single shot, which is perfect for the boxing ring, and certainly the glory days of boxing end up being largely in the 50s. And you think about the increase in popularity of basketball starts to come when the highlight moment, the ESPN kind of moments of coming forward. I mean, football takes TV into the new era in the early 60s because of the excitement and the game and that sort of thing. People are just fascinated by watching something, and as more and more cameras were added. But basketball, really starting in the 80s, and baseball's lagging behind, becomes a little bit of America's pastime. The thing that football did for a while, though, was to capture kind of the big screen mode. But what basketball has done, it seems that football is lagging behind. And baseball, just by the nature of the game, continues to be problematic. And soccer, just domestically in the United States, it just hasn't caught on in the same kind of way. But the NBA has consciously said, people aren't just watching this thing on a big box anymore. People aren't just talking about things via traditional talk radio or whatever else is out there. And they really have been forward-thinking, making efforts to figure out how do we take advantage of new media and the way communication is taking place. So they lead the way now, but that's not to say that's going to be the long-term result.
Well, and though the NFL has become America's most popular sport, really without question on that, the NBA, by virtue of having so many international players, and this has been a number of years now, but I remember when China embraced the NBA, when Yao Ming was the center for the Rockets, it does seem like the NBA has really been able to hit the international market in a much stronger way. So how much of an impact can that have?
Huge impact. You know, huge impact in terms of popularity, and I think the phrasing is just right. Just because you're popular on social media, just because you're popular globally, doesn't mean you can monetize that. I mean, it's still the king of the hill in terms of media revenues is the domestic market, is what you can show in terms of your numbers in the United States. So because you have 1 billion of the population of China paying attention to your sport on social media, can you show me how to convert that into dollars? And as social media overall is getting better at that, then it becomes more and more important.
In the short term, I wonder, how much does the individual star matter? Because, again, we're talking about league versus league here. Can that help, or is that just, that's a 3 to 5 year thing, and it doesn't really matter in the big picture?
That's an ongoing debate that people, I still don't think people have fully translated, and leadership sports have fully translated what's the right path. A lot of folks really paused when Michael Jordan fully retired from the NBA, for example, and said, oh, have we gone too far away from the idea of promoting rivalries as opposed to individuals? And if you watch these sports previews for events coming on, you'll see leagues kind of go back and forth between saying, let's talk about this quarterback versus that quarterback, as opposed to the two teams against each other, which is a longer lasting. I mean, it's a more evergreen kind of competition, more evergreen descriptor to build your promotion around, rather than the individuals that, as you suggest, are fleeting and won't be there forever.
You talked about monetizing it. At its core, what does monetizing in this case mean? Does it mean getting more people to buy your jerseys, watch your games online, get the NBA season ticket package, whatever it is?
So it's all that, but you know, in the end, what translates down to, and it's less frequent now, is the media rights fees and what you want to show whoever is buying the media rights, if it's if ESPN or NBC Universal or whoever it ends up being that buys the right, you want to show them how many eyeballs you have watching your sport, and all the media rights that you're selling and the bundle of what you're selling becomes larger and larger in every deal as we discover more ways to say you have the right to our content to display it in all these formats. And then the media enterprise that purchases those rights is then able to go to advertisers and say, hey, last time I told you if you sponsored these programs, you'd get 5 million viewers. Well, guess what? Now we have 500 million viewers, and here's where they are. So that's where the real value comes. It's great to sell jerseys. It's great to sell sodas at the events live and that sort of thing. But the number that can go up by multiples is the number of eyeballs that are going to watch and potentially buy, going way back in time, razors or beer or whatever it is you're trying to sell.
Kenneth Shropshire is with the Wharton School of Business, and starting next month, he'll join ASU to design and lead a new international sports center.